Let's go back and review a little bit of the Mishnah back at the beginning of the Perek on Daf Nun Beis Amid Beis, and then we'll pick up the Sugya here on Daf Nun Hey. The Mishnah says, Ketzad Ma'abrim Es Ha'orim, and the question is, how do we define or judge a city that is considered me'uberes, ma'abrim, which means that we can expand the outer boundaries of the city to include even parts that aren't really migufa shel ir, but perhaps these are extensions of the city. And you'll see, if you take a look here in the Bir, he quotes the Gemara later on that Ishamuberes means that although the Ubar is not really Migufa Mamish, here also when we add to the city limits, we're adding parts that are not Migufa Shel Ir. And the Mishnah wants to clarify now this Ibura Shel Ir concept. And the Gemara later on Daf Samach is going to establish the rule that Hanosein Iburo be Ibura Shel Ir, that there's some sort of addition that's an add-on, a tag-on of the Tosefes that's considered like the city itself. And the Mishnah says, in what case, in what scenario can we be ma'aber the ear? Bayis nichnas bayis yotze. You have one house that enters into the city, another house that sometimes goes beyond the city, towards the outside, beyond the city. Or you're going to have cases of a city that is surrounded by a wall, and in this wall there are various towers which are called pogum or pigum. And pigum nichnas and pigum yotze. You can have a pigum that turns towards the inner side of the city, and you could have a pigum that turns outside the city. And Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Chananel that pigum means a building that is built like a chicken coop. And it doesn't mean really a chicken coop, because the brisa that we're going to learn today, Mirtz Hashem, on Daf Nun Hey, is something that's not made for purpose of Ibur Ir. And then the Mishnah has a case of Hayisham Gidudios, which we said were, if you recall, broken down pieces of wall from a ruin of various, perhaps, houses that once stood. And these are Gvos Asar Tfachim, they are 10 Tfachim high. And we're going to see the Gemara that there are three Mechitzos without a roof. And Gedudios, according to the Miri at least, are Mechitzos that are created by themselves, in other words, not through human activity. And he adds that the Mishnah wants to teach us that not only Batim can serve to extend Dira and expand the city, but even something which has no residence, there's nobody living there, but they could become Dira if necessary, they become Ibura Shel Ir as well. And that requires a minimum height of 10 Tfachim. Then we had Gisharim Unefashos, and that kind of structure that's used over a kever and bridges, sheyesh ben beis dira. You know, these are places, these nefashos, which are occupied by the security people, and they are the shomrim. All this is considered part of the city itself, and therefore motzien es amida kenegdo, that when we come to set up the outer boundaries of the city and measure the 2,000 amah from there and beyond to know where the end of the tchum is, if any of the above are protruding, and they may be protruding on the, shall we say, the northern side, then we're going to create a straight line that includes the southern side as well. So let's say if you have on the northeast of the city, you have some sort of blita that protrudes, and then Kenegdo, and you have on the bottom, on the Mizrachis, Dromis, and we're going to imagine as if we can stretch a chut, you know, some sort of rope, meaning a straight line from north down to south, and that's where the tchum begins. We measure beyond that that chut that we set up. Fine, now let's fast forward to Daf Nun Hey of an Aleph, and we're going to take a look after the Agadita, the long Agadita here, at the Brisa of Tanur Rabbanan of Ketzad Ma'avrim Es Ha'arim, which is a language that's very similar, if not identical, to that of our Mishnah. And this would be approximately 11 lines down from the top of the Om. Tanur Rabbanan. Ketzad Ma'avrim Es Ha'arim. In other words, how can we judge the city as a muberes? And we could add other pieces that aren't migufa ir, as we said before. And now we start with the first case, which is ir shiyarucha vitzara. Right, so it has a certain length to it, but its width is very narrow. In other words, there's a greater length than there is a width. And in such a case, we don't add anything to the city, Kemoshehi, and we'll soon see exactly what the case is, but you could already begin to imagine this case. Agula, here's where we are going to add something of significance to the city, and that's in the case of a round city, Osimla Zovios. We take the round city, we make it into a square. And by doing so, we're adding the corners on all four sides. And in a, let's say in a ratio, if we wanted to create a rough estimate of a ratio, then we would say that we're adding to what would have been, let's say, if the city, based on its round size, would be 2,000 amma, we're going to add another 800 amma to make it 2,800 amma. And this we do by squaring the circle, adding the zavios, those extra corners on all four sides. And we're going to start calculating the 2,000 amma on each side from the zavios. And that's going to give us on the top right, which we call northeast, the bottom right, which is north, which is southeast, top left, which is northwest, and the bottom left, which is southwest. And if, on the other hand, the Braisa says the city is Mirubas, it is a square city, then ain osim lazavios. You don't add any corners. But the question is why the Bryce has to tell me this. The Gemara is going to ask, isn't this obvious in the sense that there's no way of creating zavios out of a square? It's already square. Then hoisa rechava mitzad echad uktsara mitzad acher. Let's say, for example, it has the width of 2,000 amma on the northern side, and only 1,000 amma on the southern side. Okay, we have a little bit of a diagram of that right here. It's almost like, if you could imagine, a line going up and down, and then slanting from the top, going towards one side, and slanting from the bottom, going up towards the other side. And Roano saw ki'ilu hishava. And we're going to judge this city as if it was equal on both sides, which means that we're going to add to the width of the city, the north and the south. Again, in a sense, cornering it off, but not, we're not cornering off a round part, but rather
in the middle of the shear.
In the Hebrew, it's Mosifen al Rochav Tzida Adromi, Ashiye Shovel Tzida Hatzfoni. So, if you can imagine that the city, in its wide side, right, stretches a little bit narrow towards its, let's call it from right to from left to right, if you want to call it that. So, on the right side, it's a little bit shorter on both ends, and then we're going to make it into a rectangle, not in this case, not a square, but we're going to add the zavios as well. Chayabais echad yotze kimin pigum. If one of the houses juts out, right, it makes it paguma. Paguma means it's like jutting as opposed to a straight line. So that if you were standing, let's say, on the inside, you would see paguma. And we're talking about a city that doesn't have a wall unto itself. It has houses at the end of the city. Those houses themselves serve as a choma, as a wall, if you will. But there is a house that's yotze kimin pigum, that goes beyond, so to speak, this wall that we're speaking about. Kasher yesh bayis hanichnas mishura sabatim el tocha ir. Nireis knisaso pagumo liomdim b'chutz le'ir. So if you have a house that's, let's say, recessed inside the city, then from the perspective of the onlooker outside the city, it looks like it's incomplete going towards the inside. Kasher yesh bayis hayotze mishura sabatim el chutz le'ir. If on the other hand you have a house that juts out beyond this imaginary choma outside, towards the outside of the city, then nireis yitzias paguma liomdim betocha ir. It looks like it's incomplete for those who are standing within the city. And then we have a case of o shnei batim yotzim mishuras batei. You have two houses that jut out beyond the outer boundary of the city. Kamin shnei pigumim is ro'en oson ki ilu chut yesh masuach chut yashar masuach aleim zem izeu modei bimenu lahala alpayim ama. So we imagine that that string that we discussed earlier in the Mishnah, as it stretched from one side to the other, and we can measure now from that point another 2,000 amah in each direction from the Tchuma Ir. And it's really interesting when you think about it, there are so few houses relative to the city that are jutting out, but yet it would seem that even one house, I don't know why he has to tell you two houses, the Shnei Pigum, what the Chiddush of that is, but in the case of one house that juts out beyond the Shura, that row of Batim that closes the city, that's the outer boundary of the city, and that's, as we said before, for those who are standing inside, they see it as a pigum, right? That's yitzias paguma for those who are standing on the inside. And then we're going to draw a line, so we gain the full length of that bias as we do straight across with a line. Then we have in the braisa hoisa asuya kimin keshes. And now we're talking about a bow, which means that the city goes from, let's say, right all the way down, curving, 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 curving up to the left. And in that case, there's a halal, this empty space inside this so-called keshet, this bow. Oh, here's another example. Kimin ga'am. Now, a ga'am is like an L, but an reversed L. So let's say the vertical line perhaps is on your right, and then on the bottom it juts out towards the left, and it forms that shape which is a Greek letter called Gam. And in such a case, Ro'en Osokilu Himalea Batim V'chatzeros. We can imagine as if the area is filled with houses and courtyards, and Mimeno Lahal and Alpayim Amu Modeid, we can calculate 2,000 Amu from beyond this. Now here, I'll mention the Rashba has a slightly different take on this. And according to the Rashba, we're talking about perhaps Kamin Keshes. If you remember the first to the last section of the Brisa has Kamin Keshes, he says it has Shalosh Zavios. So although our interpretation was like a round shofar kind of a curve, he has an overall curve shape, but it goes, let's say, on the right side and the left side, both ends are vertical, and then they come to a 90-degree angle on the bottom side. So it's a slightly different shape of a keshes. And then we have the last case of Kamin Gam. And once again, we're going to make a square out of a kind of an L-shaped and fill in that missing part so we can calculate 2,000 Amma from that part that's actually missing. It's shaded in a lighter color because there's nothing really there. And, in the case of the city that's Asuya Kigam, and now you want to make it into a square, then basically what you're doing is you're in a sense adding another gam which would fill into the first gam, one L fitting into another L, and then the city becomes a complete square. Now he has a note here. He says min achilek harachav shel hakeshes, on the widest side of this bow, like looks like a bowl, if you know what I mean, is Sham Hu Mekom HaChevel Shel HaKeshes, and that's going to be where we put the rope that we spoke about before, and it's called Yeser in the language of David HaMelech in Tehillim. So again, the Keshes is made up of two parts. One part is like a half of a circle. We can call it, made of wood or metal. And that's what we call the Gufa Keshes. And then in addition, we have a Chevel. We have the string of the arrow, of the bow, which is stretched tightly between the two polar ends of this bow. And that's where they would, stretch the arrows out so that it could shoot out in a longer distance. And the Gemara says that by adding that Chevel, we are going to be able to calculate 2,000 Amma from that Chevel, so that if the Keshes is a half of a circle, according to that Pshat, then in addition, we are calculating from the end of the Chalal of the Keshes another area which is going to allow us to be Mirabea the Keshes. So the Rashba points out here that we're really adding two things. We're adding the Chalal that's inside the Keshes, inside this half circle, and we're taking that half circle and we're going to square it off to give the two Zavios on the bottom. Omar Mar, the Gemara now analyzes the Braisa. It says in the Braisa, Ir Arucha Kemoshehi, if the city is long, right? It's long, then we don't square it off. Pshita. The Gemara says that for sure we're not going to square it off. Why would we have a Havamina that we would square it off? If you would square it off, is then Nekatzeres Orech Ha'ir, right? Then you're going to be limited to the square by the size of the width. And if you're limited by the size of the width, then ultimately you're going to detract from the actual size of the city. And that we don't want to do. So we're gonna leave it as is. So the Gemara asks, Pshita, Lo Tzricha, the Braisa is teaching me a chiddush in the case of a city that's Aricha Uktina. Right? Its length is greater in size than its width. The width is very narrow. And Maudetem, I would have thought, Liten la pusya aorka, that we can give the width and equalize it to the length, to the orech, and we're going to add to the shear of the rochav the midas orko. And that's how we're going to square off the city. And if that be the case, then there's going to be a part of the narrow, we're going to extend the narrow part in order to meet up with the, you know, with the longer line and make it square. Is Kamash Malan, the Bryce wants to therefore teaches me that that's not the din. Rather, we're going to leave it as is. And we're not going to change its shape in any way, or neither to expand it or subtract from it. So if you have this long rectangular city, we're not going to extend it. And this seems to teach us that we leave it long. And why would we assume otherwise? I mean, why would we shorten it? And the Gemara says that this teaching here in the Braisa is for a city that's long in one direction, but it's short in the other direction. So its boundaries form a rectangle and not a square. You might have thought, let's give it boundaries whose width is equal to its length, and therefore transform it into a square, so that if you have, for example, imagine if you had a line that had Lomazogin 5 houses, and you have a line on the other side also 5 houses, and going across both on top of this line and the bottom of the line, you have another, let's say, 7 lines. Okay, so you have 7 on top, 7 on the bottom going from right to left, and you have 5 that give you this rectangle. And you might think that we should extend it in the Mao de Tema. And by extending it, what we're doing is that we're going to equalize the width to the length. Which means that if you only have 5 houses going up and down on your left side, 5 on your right side, and in the length going across, we said we had 7 houses. Maybe we should add 2 houses going from up to down, if you find what I mean. And then by doing so, you'll have the exact same number of 7 houses going from right to left, and you'd be make it into a perfect square. Kamash Malan. And the Braisa wants to tell us that when it comes to a rectangular city, we're not going to convert it and extend it to make it into a square. And even though when you talk about the boundaries or the perimeters of a town or a city, and we want to sort of redraw those perimeters, that's only to give it right angle corners. But a rectangle already has right angle corners, and therefore we don't extend the city. Then the Braisa says, Merubas ein osim la zavios. If you already have a square city, you don't make extend it for the corners. And the Gemara says, Pshita. I mean, Pshita means how would it even be possible or thinkable to expand a square and get more corners? Lo tzricha, what's the case in the Braisa? It's a city that's de miraba velo miraba biribua ola. It's a square, but it's a square that's not aligned with the directions of the world. I have a beautiful diagram here where you'll sort of see a square that's tipped onto its point instead of, you know, the instead of the wide, you know, the flat line across from east to west being parallel on the bottom, and that's the way, you know, that's the way you know, other cities look. In this case, he's got a city that's askew, if you will. It's turned on its side, on its point. And if you would imagine, you know, adding a square onto the outside points, the four points of this square, you would be adding Zavios. I can't tell you exactly the size of the Zavios, but I'm sure there's a mathematical ratio that'll give it to us. Ma'o de Tema, I would have thought, Li Rabba Biribui Olam, let's end up with a square in the exact same direction as the rest of the world, and that would give us, as we said before, a whole bunch of extra Zavios, is Kamash Malan. Therefore, the Bryce has to teach me that we're not going to do this. Since the city is in a square shape, then we're not going to add a square around the square to expand the bounds of the city. The Rashba writes in the name of the Ravid that this din applies even to a city that is half round, like the keshes, like the bow, that although we do square off the areas around the circular shape, even if it's tipped over on its side, but we're not going to, although we, you know, we want to gain that halal inside the keshes, but we're not going to add the corners by equalizing it, squaring it off in the same shape as the rest of the cities in the world. In other words, we already established the, you know, by taking the rope, so to speak, and stretching it from one side to the other, we've already established a, you know, a zavis, and we're not going to now judge it as a round city that needs to be squared. We've already accomplished whatever we have to accomplish. Now the Bryce continues and says, Hoya bayis echad yotze kimin pigum, o shnei batim yotzin kimin shnei pigumim. And then we stretch again that imaginary chut. And the Gemara thinks now that what the Bryce has in mind is that these two batim that jut out on one side of the city, let's say for argument's sake, on the northern side of the city, and these two batim are on two ends. We'll call it the western end on the right and the eastern end on the left. So you've got one bias that's on what we would call the northeastern corner, and the other bias is on the west, on the northwestern corner. And the Bryce is telling me that we see, that we imagine a chut, right, which always means a straight line, that goes from one bias to the other bias. And that's what the Gemara thinks right now is the ruling of the Mishnah, and the Gemara is not happy with that. The Gemara asks, Hashta bayis echad amart, ishnei batim miboy. You know, if you tell me already that once you have one house, a single house, that juts out beyond the straight line of the city boundary, then we're going to set up a line going through both, to both ends, you know, based on this extra bias, this one single bias that protrudes beyond the boundary, is then, even in the absence of a second bias, so why do you have to tell me, shnei batim, that you squared off? Mimi boy, question mark, do we need that? I mean, that's absolutely obvious. If one house is enough to set up this chevel and the straight line,
because it protrudes and give you that extra area. So how much more so two houses? Lo tzricha, the Braisa needs to tell me a chiddush, not in the case where there are two batim on one side of the city, but rather mishtei ruchos, that there are two batim, both of which project beyond the bounds, but on different bounds, you know, not on the northern boundary or whatever it might be, but rather one on the north and one on the east, let's say. Or one on the north and one on the south. Ismail Detem, I would have thought that only in the case where you have a bais miruach achas, it's on one side of the city, let's call it the northern side of the city, Amrina, and there we're going to say that we imagine this, as we call it, the chut masuach, this rope that's stretched, you know, in a corresponding line. But if you have two batim, mishtei ruchos, lo amrina. In that case, we're not going to add to the city on two sides. Maybe we'll only add to the city on one side. And therefore, if you had two houses that are both on the same side, that's fine. You draw that line, you know, at the end of the edge of the two cities, of the two batim, excuse me. But in the case of shtei ruchos, now you want to gain a hosafa on the ear from two different studim. And what you're going to basically do is you're going to add a piece both on, let's call it the right side, and another add another piece on the left side, because you have this protruding house on each side. And it's really interesting in the diagram that I have here in the Masifta, you could hardly even see that extra house. You know, it's such a small piece, and yet we draw a whole line, you know, going from north to south, and adding a whole piece to the calculations of the Alpayamama. And so on the other side, you know, one on the right and one on the left is Kamash Malan. The Mishnah, the Bryce actually wants to tell me the Chiddush, that even in a case we have two batim on two different ruchos, two different directions, or sides, if you will, we still do this trick of Moschim Chutz Kenegda, and stretching out this rope, and adding, in this case, to the city on both sides. The Braisa says, Hois asuya kimin keshes o kimin gam, is roen osa, ki ilu hi malea batim, v'chatzeros, v'modid mimeno lahalon, alpayim amo. So the Gemara now quotes a statement of Rav Huna regarding a city that looks like, has the shape of a bow, a keshes. Om Rav Huna, ir shasuya keshes, im yesh ba ben shnei roshen, rosheha, pachos me arba, arbas alofim ama. He says that if in event that the two heads, you know, the two ends, if you will, of this curve of the keshes, have a distance which is less than 4,000 amma, one from the other, so that the tchum on one side of the city is, in a sense, there's an overlap with the tchum on the other side, and therefore we consider as one city, and the halal, that's the inner space, the empty space of this bow, is considered as if it's filled up with batim, and modded in law, now we can calculate the alpayim amav tchum shabbos from the outside of the city, min ayeser, from the point to which that, you know, string connects the two sides of the bow, and imla, but if on the other hand the distance between the two ends of the bow is 4,000 amma, as opposed to the ratio which was less than 4,000 amma, then there's no overlap of the two sides whatsoever, and we're not going to judge it as one city, but rather modin lo min hakeshes. We're going to start our calculation of alpayim amma from those, let's say, who live inside the keshes, a tchum of alpayim amah v'beiso. So again, you have many different people living in the houses inside the keshes, and we're going to calculate 2,000 amah from his house. So let's just try to summarize this. I would have thought that if a house protrudes on one side, then the city's boundaries can be extended. But if the houses protrude on two sides, we cannot extend the boundaries on both sides. Kamash Malon. So now the Brisa taught me that we can extend the city in two directions. Furthermore, the Brisa says that if the city was shaped like a bow, or like the Greek letter gamma, and we said that that was an inverted L of some sort, then we view the city as if it is in its inhabited, its uninhabited section is filled with houses and courtyards. And that's called ki'ilu himalea batim v'chatzeros, umodim mimeno l'hola paimamo. Fine. Now, Rav Huna qualifies this Brisa by telling us that if a city is built like a bow, if there's less than 4,000 amah between its two ends, then we measure the tchum from the imaginary bowstring, if you want to call it that. But if not, if the distance between the two ends of the bow is 4,000 amah or more, then we measure the tchum from the bow itself. And the tchum, which is the area of the houses at the end of the bow, overlap in the case of Yesh ben Shnei Rashi Pochos Mi'arbos Alofim, and therefore we can view and define the entire city as one entity, and we can fill in the empty parts of the city with houses. But if the tchum areas do not overlap, the two, if you will, arms of the city no longer appear to be part of one and the same city. And that's because they are so far apart, one from the other, that you don't see them as one continuous entity. And therefore, we're not going to draw one large square to include all the different parts of the city. Each person would have to measure his 2,000 amah of Tchum Shabbos from his house. And what Rashi is dealing with here is a case in which someone exists in the city into the uninhabited area in the center. Someone exists... Sorry, just... erase that. Someone exits the city into the uninhabited area in the center, right? Because we said that if it's Asuya Kamin Keshes, then the center of the city is uninhabited. And now we have a situation in which when you exit the city, if you go through the center, the uninhabited area, then that could be considered part of the city. But let's say you have a situation where the person who can walk within the city limits from his house to the end of the bow and then proceed 2,000 amah beyond the outermost house. What it means is, if I understand correctly, that where is your house in this keshes? If... And the nafkamin is going to be how to calculate 2,000 amah. You can walk from one side of the keshet to the other side of the keshet. And then, if you do so, then by exiting the city, by going through the inhabited area, which, as we said, is in the center, he can walk within the city limits from one house on one end of the bow to the other, and then from that outermost house he can go another 2,000 amah. But that's only from that outermost house and beyond. But let's say instead of exiting through the uninhabited center, as we call it, between the two, you know, the two empty space between the two ends of the bowl of the half circle, instead of going in that direction, let's say he wants to go in the opposite direction, let's say instead of going north, you know, to exit that way, he goes south, then we'd have to calculate 2,000 amma, Rashi says, from the location of his house. But Tosis adds another very important point over here. And again, you'll see it in this diagram, that between one, you know, side of the round half circle and the other side of the round circle, at some point, because of the shape of a half circle, it's a distance of less than 4,000 amma. And we're going to imagine the line from that point, which is less than 4,000 amma, where there's an overlap, as we said before, of the two of the two tchumim, if you want to call it that, the tchum on the right and the tchum on the left. It's only when you go a little bit higher north, and then you know the semicircle expands. At that point, if you drew a line from one side to the other, from right to left, you'll get more than 4,000 amma. So we can calculate the 2,000 amma not from the house, because let's say your house is right in the middle of this circle. We can go much, much further north till the point where it's 3,999 ammas from one right side to the other, to the left side, and calculate your 2,000 amma from there. Now the Gemara asks the following question: Umi Amar Rav Huna Hachi? Did Rav Huna actually say that if there is more than that, let's put it this way, only if there is less than 4,000 amma can we consider the empty space between the two end sides of the half circle as filled with batim, as one city? V'amar Rav Huna, doesn't this contradict a different statement of Rav Huna? If you have a wall of a city and it's breached, then what's the shear? It's b'me'a v'arboim v'achas u'shlish amma. So if this city, which has a breached wall, or shall we say its walls were breached, and now there's a churban, there's some ruins of the houses in the middle of this city, at some point, it looks like two different cities, because the space here of the pirtza is 140 1/3 amma. 141 1/3 amma. Once we have that space in between, it splits the city into two. That's called Ir Shenifritzu Chomoseha and Nechleka Lishne Orim. Now, if the width of this pirtza is up to but not beyond 141 1/3 amma, then we still judge the city as one continuous city. And someone who leaves the city from one half or the other, whatever chelik of the city goes through, he can, right, if he's going to go out of the, again, chelka echad shel ir, and he wants to go to the other chelik of the ir, and then go beyond the city, so we're not going to begin our count of 2,000 amma of the Tchum Shabbos until we get to the end of the city, the Ketzei Ha'ir. If, on the other hand, the width of the Pirtza is more than 141 1/3 amos, then the city becomes like two different cities, and anyone who goes from one half to the other, from one city to the other, Kedei Lahalech Derech Ir Hashnia Lechutz, Masil Nos Arbas Alpayim Amma Shel Tchum Shabbos Mitchilas HaPirtza V'yelach. So if he's traveling from one after the other, when he gets to the outermost side of the Pirtza, then
he starts calculating 2,000 amah from that point. What we see clearly from this statement of Rav Huna is that if he has two parts of a city that's separated by more than 141 and a third amos, then the two parts of the city are no longer mitztaref. In our sugya, on the other hand, in the case of a keshes, Rav Huna said that if the distance between the two ends of the keshes is less than 4,000 amos, 3,999 amos, then we're mitztaref it all as if it was one city. So let's just summarize the Gemara's kasha here. Rav Huna in our sugya says that the distance between the ends of this bow, is it more or less than 4,000 amah? But Rav Huna elsewhere said that if the city's walls were breached, or the city wall was breached, then we treat it as one city up to a gap of 141 and a half and a third amos. But if the gap exceeds 141 and a third amos, then the two parts of the city are viewed as two different cities. And we see here from Rav Huna that he sets the maximum open area that could separate two sections of a city of one single city as 141 and a third amos, not 4,000 amos, as he stated in the case of the keshes. Omar Rabba Bar Ula Lokash. We can reconcile this. Kan b'ruchachas, kan b'shtei ruchos. Now it's in the case of the keshes, which is a bow-shaped city. There, it's open only on one side. It's connected on the other side. And that's why Rav Huna says that it's considered as one continuous, uninterrupted area, even if the gap is as from one side of the city to the other is as much as 4,000 amah. Because again, we're talking about a case where it's within one side. And although there's a gap on one side, it's connected on the other side, right? Because there's this whole strip of the bow. But Khan, here's the case where Rav Huna describes a split down the city, and there's absolutely no connection between the two halves of the city. There's an unpopulated gap which completely separates the two halves of the city. And in light of the fact that you have a city that's completely divided by this gap, then we see if the gap exceeds 141 and a third amos, it's viewed as two separate towns. What is the chiddush of Rav Huna? Now let's just try to figure out. Umayka mashmalon, ma mashmienu Rav Huna, biomro shashir pirta sa'ir, hi meyav arba, arboim vi achas amasu shlish. We're going to have to say that he wants to teach us that once these two cities that are near each other, or for that matter, any two cities that are near each other, is nosnin karpaf lezu v'karpaf lezu. We're going to afford a what we call a sheer migrash, an empty lot of 70 amma and 2/3 of an amma for each one of these cities. And if they have that sheer, then it's like one city. Therefore, if the distance between the two cities is up to 141 ammas and a third, they're considered like one city. And the Gemara is going to ask Akash on this, but let's just again reiterate the chiddush here of Rav Huna. He's saying that we grant an extension of a karfaf's area of a distance to this section of the breached wall of the city, and an extension of a karpaf to this section of the breached wall of the city, so that 141 and a third amos can separate the two halves without being considered like two cities. And the empty area of 70 and 2/3 amos wide, a karpaf is an enclosed area beyond the edge of a town, and it's used for storing wood or other things like that, not for residential purposes.
And Chazal prohibited carrying in a karpaf once it exceeds 70 and two-thirds amma by 70 and two-thirds amma. Now, any space, therefore, of 70 and two-thirds amma is known as a karpaf. An empty area of this size beyond the city is considered part of the city, again, if it's within 70 and two-thirds amma, even if it's not enclosed. Now, if two cities are separated by an empty space no greater than the size of two karpafs, then legally they're considered as one single city. So you have a city on your right, a city on your left. You've got 70 and two-thirds amma going from the city on the right towards the middle, and the same going from the city on your left towards the middle. Since we allot each town a karpaf, and the karpafs now are joined, the two towns are now considered one single continuous town. So on that, the Gemara says, Ha'omra Rav Huna Chada Zimna, that we already have a statement to this effect from Rav Huna in the past as a comment on a Mishnah later on, this Nan, on Daf Nun Zayin Omid Aleph. And here we're turning to Daf Nun Hayim and Beis. Nosnim Karpaf Le'ir Divri Rabbi Meir V'chachom Omrim Lo Omru Karpaf Ela Ben Shtei Ayoros. So the Mishnah establishes that we grant a Karpaf, which again, the open area, the size of a Karpaf, 70 and two-thirds Amas to each of the town's boundaries. And we're going to measure the 2,000 Amot Tchum from the end of the Karpaf. We didn't get to the Gemara as to why we do so yet. But in any event, Divrei Rabbi Meir. Fine. So we're going to give a karpaf and grant that to that area that we said before, 70 and two-thirds amma to each of the town's boundaries. And Chachomim say, Lomru karpaf ela ben shtei ayoros, that the rule of a karpaf only applies between two cities. Klomar, what this means is ein nosnin shetach nosaf le'ir yechidus ela maschilin limnos alpayim amam misofer mamish v'rak biofen sheyesh shtei ayoros hasmucha zu lezu nosim lehem karpaf beinayim kedei lechabron al yodo. So whereas Rabbi Meir holds that when we come to measure the tchum of alpayim amam of a city, then first we allow for an area, an empty area outside the city of 70 and two-thirds of an amma, and that's considered the extension of the city, and then we calculate from there the end of this 70 and two-thirds of an amma. From beyond that, we calculate 2,000 amma, but according to Chachomim, the whole din of Karpaf is only between two cities in order to determine whether one city or the other, the Itmar. And with regard to this Machlokes, we have a statement in the base measures to explain the Chachomim. How many karpifos do we allow between the two cities? Rav Huna Amar, karpif lezu v'karpif lezu, that we allow for a plot of land the size of 70 and two-thirds of an amma for each one of the two cities. And if that distance between the two cities is a shear of 141 and a third amos, then we can join the two cities and make it into one. Chia Barav Omar Ein Nosnin Ela Karpaf Echad L'Shtein. We're only going to give a lot for an area of 70 and two-thirds amma between the two cities, not a Karpaf Zeh Uzeh. And if they are separated, according to Rav Chia, by 70 amma and two-thirds, then we can connect and integrate the two cities, make them into one city. If on the other hand, Yesh Beinayim, if they have more than that shear, then it's considered like two different cities. In any event, we see the Rav Huna in a different context for the Mishnah later on has already established that according to Chachamim, we give a karpaf to each one of the two cities. So therefore we want to know why did Rav Huna feel compelled to teach us in the case of a Choma Sa'ir Shenifritza, when the wall of the city was breached, and now we have two cities, that the shear between the two that separates them has to be more than 141 and a third amos. I mean, he's already stated that. And now the Gemara is going to say tzricha, that we need a chiddush in both directions. So we need Rav Huna to teach me the din in these two scenarios. One in the case of two cities, and the other in the case of one city where the was a pirtz of the choma, and there's a chiddush in each one of these two dinim. The iashmin in hacha, if he would have told us just the chiddush here, as far as the mechitza of a city that was breached, we would have thought that only in this case we're going to give a karpaf, a grant a karpaf to each side of the city. Mishum dehavi leitzad hetame kora. Because these two cities had a heter and were once upon a time one city. So this already established a certain imprint on the city. And then we could be making later on to re-integrate these two cities with two karpifos, Bravel Hossam, but in the case of two cities that were never connected together from the beginning, from the get-go, Amalo, I would have thought that we can only give him one karpaf for the two cities in order to allot that smaller area for integration. But if they have more than 70 and two-thirds amma, they don't become one city. Therefore, I needed Rav Huna to teach me that even in this case of two cities, we can set up a karpaf for this one and a karpaf for this one, which jacks the number up to 141. The Iyashmin in Hossam, if we only had the Chiddush of Rav Huna in the din over there of two different cities, I would have said that only in that case we give and we afford a karpa for each city. Mishum didchika tashmishtayu. In other words, it's dochuk for them, the Mokom HaMishtamesh B'Karpaf Echad, you know, to give him a whole city, just that small area of 70 Amos, etc., of one Karpaf. Each city needs a Karpaf unto itself. And each Karpaf should be defined as part of the city. That's the extension of the city. And therefore, we can combine these two Karpafs and consider them as one city, Aval Hacha, but in the case where there was a breakage in the chom of the city, the lo dechika tashmishtayu, there's not such a small, limited, uncomfortable area, makom dachok, if you want to call it, between the two sides of the city, and therefore the two sides of the city could certainly share one single karpaf, because again, initially the city was built as contiguous houses. You know, we didn't need to give a karpaf at all. Is Amalo, I would think, we can only afford one karpaf in this case, is tzricha. Therefore, I need Rav Huna's chiddush to tell me that even in this case, where there was one city to begin with, all that we could still grant a karpaf for each one, and we can integrate them into one city with allotting a karpa for each city. So again, if we only had the chiddush of Rav Huna in the case of the breached city, our sugya here, we would have assumed that in this case we can integrate the two halves of the city into one, because originally they had that status of heter when it was one single city. But here in the case of two independent cities, they never had a heter to begin with. As a single entity, you want to create that new entity of one city. In such a case, I would have had the Havamina. I would have thought that we cannot apply this kula and afford a karpa for each one, but rather we'd have to agree with Chiya Bar Av, and Rav Huna would agree that the Chazal in this case would not recognize these two cities as one city with more than a separation greater than one karpa. And if he had only given us the chiddush in this case of two independent cities, no, I'm sorry, in that case of two independent cities, then we would assume that each city needs a karpaf. It would have curtailed the use of the city if you didn't offer the city an extension, an extra piece of a karpas worth. Because normally when you have residents in a city, they need 70 2/3 amas around the town for their activities around the town. So if you curtail this space, you're depriving them of the normal additions to a city. And therefore each individual city here requires that amount of space. And therefore, as a result, two towns that are separated by 141 and a third of an amma would be would considered integrated into one city. But here, in the case where you began with one city to begin with, and maybe only an area of one karpaf would be allowed, and therefore I need Rav Huna's chiddush even in this case. Now we have a little bit more to discuss about a keshes, the kamahavi ben yeser le keshes, which literally translates as how much may there be between the bowstring and the middle of the bow. Again, it's really an imaginary string which is there, and Rav Huna had said that the distance between the two ends of the bow cannot exceed beyond 4,000 amma for the unpopulated section of the city, in order to view that area, that open area, as if it was filled with houses. The Gemara now wants to know what's the limitation on the distance between the rounded middle of the bow and the imaginary bowstring. How much would there be between the rounded middle of the bow and the bowstring? And that would allow, considering the uninhabited section of the city as if it was filled with houses. And the Gemara quotes two opinions. The first is Rabba bar Rav Huna. He says, Alpayim Amma. If the distance is beyond Alpayim Amma is the max, then if one would have to travel a full tchum before reaching the bowstring, and we're talking about, again, the area between, or the distance, I should say, between the middle of the bow and the bowstring, if the area between the middle of the bow and the bowstring is more than 2,000 amma, then we cannot begin to measure the Tchum Shabbos from the bowstring. Whereas Rav Breidra of Yeshua, the Rabba Bar Rav Huna says that afilu yeser me'alpayim amma, even if there's more than a 2,000 amma distance from the bow to the bowstring, meaning from the rounded middle of the bow to the imaginary bowstring. Omer Abaye, Abaye says, Kavose de Rava Bere de Rav Bar Huna Mistavra. It's logical to accept his pshat. Why? De Iboy Hodar Osi Derech Baten. Right? If somebody wants, he can walk around by the way of the houses. He can reach the area of the bowstring by walking through the town all the way to its tip. And basically, you know, we're talking about a case in which the distance between the two ends of the bow is less than 4,000 amma. So therefore, any point along the bowstring is going to be within 2,000 amma of one of the two ends of the town. And since all the points of the bowstring are accessible, the length of the empty area should not divide the city into two, but rather let's define and categorize the empty area as if it were filled with houses and chatzeros, so that he can reach the area of the bowstring by walking through the town. The distance between the center of the bow and the bowstring should not
undermine the closing of the intervening area. So it follows from this logic that if the entire bowstring is within 2,000 amas of the body of the bow, then the empty area is going to be defined as filled even if the ends of the bow are more than 4,000 amas apart, since all the points along the bowstring are within reach, the empty area can be considered filled. And therefore, according to Rava, the rule limiting the distance between the two sides of the bow to less than 4,000 amas is only when the bowstring is more than 2,000 amas from the body of the bow. And let me just read to you the summary of Rashi, maybe if we get a chance, a little bit of the Ritva. And we're saying the following, that according to, we'll start with Rava, we can apply the din of Yeser to the Keshes up to 2,000 Amma, which means that we can be Mitzaref, we can integrate the two tippy ends of the bow, as long as there's no 4,000 amma between them. So let's say between the two ends of the bow there's 3,999 amma, then the whole keshes becomes like chalola, the empty space of one city. If, on the other hand, according to Rabba, there is between the keshes and the yeser more than 2,000 amma, then we cannot be mitzarif them to, you know, calculate the tchum from the yeser. And the reason for that is because hayotze mibeso sheva keshes tzorch lelech ad hayeser lemala me'alpayim amma shel tchum. So as we said, the yeser would be the, we call it the bowstring, correct? So if, summarizing the machlokas now between Rabba and Rava, Rabba holds that we need tchumim muvloim, an overlap of tchumim on each side, mikol tzad, from every side. Well, that means, first and foremost, the two Roshei HaKeshes, that was the sugya that we saw before, that there shouldn't be 4,000 amma between the Roshei HaKeshes, the Roshei HaKeshes. Now we get to the area between the bottom of the Keshes and the top bowstring, the imaginary Yeser, Ben Yeser HaKeshes. There, too, we have to make sure that there shouldn't be between them 2,000 amma, but rather we should have a situation of Tchumim Muvloim Zebozeh. Rav, on the other hand, holds that since he can walk around the keshes, he can go from one side of the keshes with, you know, the continuous houses, therefore, even if there's a distance between the keshes and the yeser of more than 2,000 amma, we should still define the empty space inside the keshes as if it were, it were filled with batim. Because since he could walk around from one side to the other. So in other words, Rava's understanding of Tchumim Uvlam is a much more limited one. For him, from his perspective, it's enough that the Tchumim Uvlam mitzad echad. Not, he doesn't require Shnei Tzad, Mikol Tzad. He holds that if the Roshei HaKeshes on both sides are Uvlam Zebazeh, and that means that there's no space, there's no distance of 4,000 amma between them, we don't need another Muvloim Zebazeh in terms of the relationship between the Yeser and the Keshes, meaning we don't need that the Yeser, which is again that imaginary bowstring, be Muvla into the Tchum of the Keshes. And therefore, even if between the Keshes and the Yeser there's more than 2,000 amma, we still would classify the Chalal inside, as long as again there's no 4,000 distance between the two Ketzavos, as Mole Bat. And as Abai supports the logic of Rava, because Yochol Lelech Mitzad Zeh Litzad Zeh Derech HaKeshes. And, you know, we can consider
the length of the halal between the keshet and the yeser, that's going up and down, you know, if you follow what I mean, the vertical line, as even if it's longer than 2,000 amma, we can still consider it as moli batim v'chatzeros. That's the shita of Rav. Okay, then this is where we're going to stop for today's shiur on the, I'd say the last, you know, we finished the first third of Daf Nun Hey Amid Beis, and we got up to the two dots that ends with Derech Batim, and then it goes back to the Mishnah of Hoyisham Gidudio. So Mirz Hashem, that's what we want to study tomorrow.